Corbin, you still have time.
Hello and welcome to episode 136 of Popcorn and Prosecco, a show that's all about talking about movies. I am Perry Nemiroff, and here are my co-hosts, Christy Puchko and Angie Han.
Hey, buddy.
Hi.
So this week we have our two topics for you. The first one is our hot topic, and we're going to talk about the new Logan trailer, and then we're going to jump into our full review, which is of Ouija, Origin of Evil. So first up, Logan trailer. I am introducing that one, and I'm really excited about it because I freaking loved this trailer. It's been a lot of fun because we've been covering Logan nonstop. It feels like for about, you know, the past 3 weeks already, where they keep throwing images on that Weapon X Instagram account. We get the poster. We see images of, you know, Wolverine holding some kid's hand, all this cryptic stuff. And I was kind of getting a little frustrated by it. They were all black and white. I didn't really have a sense of what the movie was going to be beyond the fact that, ooh, look, it's going to be an R-rated movie. Here's a severed hand. It's going to be crazy. And then when this trailer dropped, I didn't realize the extent that they would go to just in terms of making this feel like a really grounded, gritty, heartbreaking version of this character. I was really just moved by how much this trailer played like a 90-second character piece.
And the music's so good for it.
Okay, no.
The Johnny Cash number?
That music is... it's... how much of the heartbreakingness comes from the music? Because that is a very effective song choice, but also the most obvious one.
Okay, I get you, but there's a couple of shots in there that I was just like, oh, fuck me. And like one of them, Angie, you tweeted about, which is when like Logan lays in the little girl's lap in the truck and you're just like, everything is so sad right now. And then with the shovel, guys, with the shovel, come on. That's very upsetting. I'm like... what I'm really excited about with Logan, because I actually have not been covering the news so much, because you guys know there's a lot going on between work and just busyness on my end. So I haven't been paying attention to that stuff. So the trailer dropped this morning and everybody was talking about it. So I watched it and holy shit, like it was exciting for me because, as you guys know, the new X-Men movie was a big disappointment for me this year because I tend to like the X-Men movies and I thought it was just boring and dumb and just bloated and didn't understand character at all. And then you get Logan and it's like, everything I wanted in that movie is here. They're like keeping it small and interesting and based in character, and it looks upsetting and it looks like it's really going to get at me, and that's what I want. Because, like, you know, you can do that with big stakes, like I think Civil War did, or you can do that by bringing it back. And I'm really excited because James Mangold also did The Wolverine, and I thought that was a great movie. I thought that they managed to do the big spectacle stuff, but keeping it to a story that I was very connected to. So I'm really excited to see this. And I'm also excited they're not apparently doing Old Man Logan, because I didn't read that comic, but people I know who did, when they told me about how fucking crazy it is with, like, incest, rape, Hulk babies and stuff, I don't want any of that. So I'm really relieved that that's happening.
It was never going to be a super accurate portrayal of it because it uses too many characters that they don't have access to because they belong to Marvel. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it feels really different from a lot of superhero movies we've seen. And the thing is though, like, it's always hard to tell from a trailer how it's going to turn out. You know, we've only seen a little bit of it, but I feel like it's off to a really promising start. And it's also just the movie really does a good job of playing on the fact that we have been watching Hugh Jackman play this character since 2000. Like, you know, that was before the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That was even before the fucking Dark Knight trilogy. Like, that was three Spider-Men ago. Like, that's how long he's been.
I was in high school.
That goes back to what you were just saying before about, would you feel that bad if not for that song? And I think the song is enhancing what the trailer is working off of based on what they've established about Wolverine in previous movies. I've watched Hugh Jackman walk around all hulking and indestructible for how many movies now? And then look at him. It's just like his skin is weathered looking. He's got cuts that aren't healing. Professor X just looks like...
Feeble.
You know, having been watching this franchise since I was in high school, it is really hard to watch these characters in this condition.
I also want to point out that, like, so this is his last movie as Wolverine now, and they are bringing it full circle because the plot of the first X-Men is also about him taking a young mutant girl under his wing and, like, going on adventures. So I was like, oh, it's a nice little, like, bookend.
Oh, I like that. That makes me really happy. I was actually thinking when everyone was talking about it today and making, like, goofy memes and stuff that I was like, that's kind of my favorite genre of movie where it's, like, grizzled old man and, like, sweet possibly sassy girl. We don't know a lot about the girl yet, but it's like Curly Sue, the professional. Like those movies, like I loved so hardcore. I was like, I wanted to be someone's baby assassin in training.
I was going to say I would like to be the grizzled person that takes the young person under their wing, but then I realized I just want to be the grizzled person. I don't like young
people.
Well,
Halloween is coming up, guys. I think Andrew should play the grizzled old person who's taken little Christy under her wing. Right? Right?
Angie, you can be Leon and I'll be Matilda.
Oh, this is going to be great.
That won't be weird at all.
You guys should do that. Even if just for like a joking Instagram picture. I'm going to Photoshop your face into those characters. That's how this is going to happen.
Oh, shit. Oh. Speaking of little girls.
All right. Yeah. Speaking of little girls, why don't we move on to our review? Yeah. Now you get it, Christy. Let's move
I couldn't
on to
hear
our
it
because
I was. There's, whatever. There's noise around me. It's fine. Yeah. So.
It's Ouija, Origin of Evil.
Yeah. So here is the IMDb plot synopsis. And bear with me, guys, because it is a mouthful. Preparing and go. In 1965 Los Angeles, a widowed mother and her two daughters add a new stunt to bolster their seance scam business and unwittingly invite authentic evil into their home. When the youngest daughter is overtaken by a merciless spirit, the family confronts unthinkable fears to save her and send her possessor back to the other side. So, yes, that's accurate, if long-winded. Yeah, this is... Okay, I was dreading watching this movie because not only is it a prequel to Ouija, which if you remember for our review of Ouija was a stupid garbage movie, but also it's a prequel. Like it just, it's prequels are horror movie prequels often are inherently bad because you know how they have to end up just to necessitate the next movie. And third, it's based on a goddamn board game. Like there's so much working against this movie being any good. And this movie scared the shit out of me. I was screaming. I was having conversations with the person next to me to talk ourselves down from being scared. Like,
so
me and our friend Michael Arbeiter. What?
You're a theater talker.
Look, not normally, but Angie, you were in that theater. You saw it. It was mayhem. I have never seen an audience react like that. People were screaming. People were shouting. People were yelling back in the theater. It, like, people needed to calm themselves down, so you heard people being like, it's fine. I'm okay. Like, I literally heard people nursing themselves back to calm after some of the scares in this movie, and I was just so thrilled because, as you guys know, a lot of the movies this year that have been getting a lot of horror attention... I thought were lame.
Yeah. I don't understand this at all. I mean, you know, to each his own, everybody's entitled to an opinion. A review is one person's personal opinion. I have to say, though, that I don't really understand the widespread love for this movie. I found it so incredibly predictable. I will say,
yes.
I loved the parts of the movie that focused on the mother-daughter relationship, because I really liked the three actresses that played the Elizabeth Reeser played the mother, Annalise Basso and Lulu Wilson played the two daughters. I thought the three of them were great together, and I loved the whole idea of the mother operating a fake seance business out of her home, and the daughters have to help, and they're just trying to get by. And I also loved the predicament of them running this fake scam, but still with the mentality that by lying to people about speaking to their loved ones, that they're actually helping them, which it's funny because it's like it's an outright lie, but I kind of buy it at the same time. I loved that idea. And I was okay with the movie. It's got great atmosphere, even though it does feel almost like, you know, it's hard to follow up a movie like The Conjuring, where the visuals in that are so rich and the period piece element of it is done so well, whereas this felt... for lack of better words, like a cheaper version of that. The parts that really just bugged me is once we started with the demon. And, you know, the reason that that board makes the connection was incredibly forced, and I really did not like that. I did not like Henry Thomas's character whatsoever.
Is that the priest?
It's the priest character who, okay, fine, you know, the girls need a principal in their school. I don't care about that. Why did he need to have a relationship with the mother, and a relationship that was...
It is weird
it
that she's flirting with a priest.
It was not reciprocated at all. And then he's supposed to come in and kind of save the day, and he's just so ineffectual. He does
nothing.
Oh,
no, but I thought that was totally the point.
That's kind of the point, yeah. I mean, okay, so I'm somewhere in between you two, like, or, I mean, I think I'm probably closer to Perry. Like, I had a really bad cold when I saw this, so I was very doped up on, like, cough medicine, so I was maybe not in the best state of mind to enjoy any movie. But I just, I mean, I like Perry, I found the scares to be like really predictable, like just telegraphed ahead of time. I did not find the origin of evil, as it turns out, to be like, I was like, oh, okay, but why? And all right, you know, never mind. It's just like generic, like, you know, evil things, bad things stuff. And it's just like, sure. Okay, so that doesn't really matter. And I wish that they so there's a kind of a subplot about like how this family really misses their dad because he died recently. And I wish that they had kind of like hit on that a little bit harder to so that we could connect a little bit more like with this family and understand why they're all acting in such weird ways.
That was one of the worst part about the Henry Thomas character, the priest character, is I think by having him in there, it almost did a disservice because it was taking attention away from the fact that they missed their father.
Oh, I don't agree with that.
Oh, I started to focus on him more and the stupid relationship they were forcing between the other two.
I thought it was a knowing nod at Exorcist, where like you had like they had a similar relationship in that movie. I thought that's what they were doing. But I do want to comment
that there
were
a couple of very heavy-handed shots that were very reminiscent.
Sure.
Of Exorcist.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly referential. I do think that the background on the quote unquote origin of evil is kind of hokey and lame, but I didn't care because I was scared out of my fucking mind. But what I want to address though is you both said you thought the scares were predictable. Here's the thing. I can't argue that because what I thought Mike Flanagan, the director, was doing was purposely setting up an idea you knew, but then I felt like he subverted it. Like, there's one scene.
So?
Okay, I'm getting to it. So there's, like, one. He keeps training you to look at the background of shots because, like, you're looking at the foreground, then something happens in the background, and you're like, fuck. So then there's one part, like, toward the end, so I'm not going to get super specific, where you're watching two characters in the foreground, so I immediately look to the background thinking that's where something's going to happen, but instead it happens in the midground, and then when you're watching when that happens, something jumps out of the corner to happen over there. It was like a 3-point scare where I just kept screaming.
I think I know what you're talking about, and all I could picture in that one particular scene is like the behind the scenes rig that was required to make a scare like that happen. It's like something about that movement.
I'm astonished.
It was completely unnatural, and I don't mean in like a ghoulish demonic way.
Oh,
I kind of felt like, I mean, I like it.
I'm astonished that you liked The Conjuring 2 more than I did. I thought these two movies were super similar.
Oh, I loved The Conjuring 2.
I know, but I thought they were really similar.
The Conjuring 2 and Lights Out, I mean, Studio Horror, Don't Breathe even, Studio Horror, above and beyond this.
No, okay, like this I actually felt like, I felt incredibly creeped out. I thought the performance of the little girl, Lulu Wilson, was incredibly strong. And like, because creepy kids,
I'll agree with that.
But a lot of times,
great.
A lot of times cameras just stare at a kid and are like, creepy, right? But like, she, I thought, did an incredible job. I thought that they did a seamless blend with the VFX that make for some of the really fucked up scenes. They're teasing a lot in the trailer where her face contorts. And like, in the trailer, I saw the trailers before we went. They did nothing for me. Within the context of that theater, I could not handle it. I was actually hiding behind my hands, which I rarely do. I was screaming, which I do. But like, one thing I gotta say above all else, I get that you guys didn't like it, but like, this is such a thing to see in a theater because the audience went nuts. Like, it was so much fun being a part of that audience. And even friends of ours who kind of came in between us on this and said, like, I liked it okay or whatever, so that they thought it was really fun to get to see a reaction like that. Like, there's one woman I'm pretty sure went home traumatized. Like, I've never heard a person scream like one woman in the audience.
Why did you find it so? Can you break down what exactly made this so much scarier for you than other horror movies? I'm genuinely curious because I did not think it was that scary. I didn't think it was like bad. Like, I thought it was fine. Like, I was like, you know, oh, okay, now we're looking around, so clearly something's gonna jump out of me. Oh, there it is, let's move on. Now we're looking around again, something else is gonna jump out of me. And that's how I felt. Like, I wasn't like,
oh man,
I don't think
that's
necessarily
how I felt
like
Breathe, where I was like, I don't care about these characters and we're just
but like, why?
Running around
was
with
it like
superpowered villain. Like, I just, that one gave me nothing. But this, it was like they presented us with a family I cared about. I liked those characters from like 5 minutes in. I liked the playful nature with which they were dealing with the Ouija board prop. I thought Flanagan did a really fun thing with that down to the title card that looks like the box. And then it was like when the creepy stuff started happening, I really think Lulu Wilson just locked me in. I thought her performance was so upsetting. Like, from the first moment where she's like, yes, we hear you, I was like, nope, no, no, not okay. Like,
I thought
and then by the time it gets
one great scene with her where she gives that speech too. I think that was one of the best scares in the entire movie, and it's a scare that's really scary because of her performance. It is a single shot on her saying really sinister and upsetting dialogue.
You mean like a minute and a half?
versus someone just like popping out and jumping at you.
Oh my god! And I don't agree with that at all. Like, I think the mirror sequence in this, there's a mirror sequence in this. They tease in the trailer. I would say stop watching the trailers because the trailers give away so much of this movie. But there was a sequence involving a mirror in this that I cannot think of the last time I screamed so much during a single sequence. That movie, like, I'm astonished that you guys didn't find this scary because, like, this year we've disagreed on what, The Witch, Don't Breathe. There was another one in there.
Green Room?
Oh, Blair Witch.
Who didn't like The Witch?
This one, right here.
Oh, she didn't like it.
I didn't think that was scary at all.
I mean, if anything, I think that let this be a lesson that horror is extremely fucking subjective and what creeps one person out will just bore the shit out of someone else.
But I'm astonished that Perry didn't like this because it reminded me so much of The Conjuring 2, and she loved The Conjuring 2, so like I'm blown away. Because I thought Mike Flanagan showed a real understanding of the haunted house genre and played with that in a way, and also the creepy kid genre.
You know, I think I would have liked it more if he could have played with the haunted house genre more specifically, and we could have thrown the Ouija board away, because I don't understand why this movie is called Ouija. The only thing that I liked about the Ouija board in this movie is there's one point where a Ouija board is there and it doesn't look like a Ouija board and it's made out of creepy stuff. I just really liked that image, but the Ouija board in this movie, you know, being the thing that conjures the evil, could have been just about anything. It could have been any demonic possessed thing, and that could have done the trick. There was nothing about this movie that made me remember playing with a Ouija board as a kid.
I can completely see that argument. No, I see that argument because, like, it didn't bother me the way that it bothered you, but you're right that it kind of just becomes, like, you know, not a MacGuffin exactly, but, like, you know, it just becomes an object that's there for contractual reasons rather than because it specifically has to be a Ouija board. And I remember that was the thing that disappointed me so much about the first one, is that I remember being a kid and playing with the Ouija boards and it creeped me out so much despite the fact that nothing ever actually happened.
But that's what
I think that they could do more with what is special about Ouija boards that makes them creepy.
One idea that could be cool in and of itself, I don't know if it would have worked with a mother and two daughters, but even just the whole idea that, you know, when you have a group of people playing a Ouija board and everyone's got their hands on the thing, it's like, I don't know, just messing with someone's head, like, who is moving it, you know?
That literally happens in the movie.
The first time they play with the Ouija board, right, and then they have, like, that friend, and she's, like, she was my favorite character in the whole thing. She's only in it for, like, 2 minutes.
I think her name is hilarious because it's this girl that's, Taylor, like, playing. Betsy gets it.
Yep.
At that point, though, it's like a major step ahead of itself, where it's like you know exactly what's going on. There's no guessing game involved, ever.
But I mean, I felt like that's what the first film tried to do, and it was fucking lame as shit.
That's the fun of playing with Ouija as a kid, is you're guessing. It's like you're messing with your mind. Like, is it really moving because there's a ghost, or is someone, like, being a jerk and they're touching it, you know?
But they did that in the first movie, and it was terrible.
I think that they didn't do a good job in the first movie.
The first movie was terrible for many, many more reasons.
Yeah.
Sure, but I'm saying that I'm glad that this movie, if you've never seen the first movie, it won't hurt your enjoyment of this movie at all. You don't need the fucking first movie at all, which I would say never watch the first movie because the first 10 minutes of the first Ouija are good and then the rest is trash. This, I thought, is really cool because it stands on its own. I thought it was so much fun to watch. I was genuinely scared. I was genuinely invested in the characters. I was caught off guard because for all the reasons that I said before, I thought this was going to be terrible. And I'm not even a Mike Flanagan fan in particular. Like, Oculus I liked okay. What was his other one? Hush. I wasn't as into Hush. It's fine. But, like, that was one that everybody raved about and I wasn't super into. So I was quite pleased that this really scared. Like, I don't know, man. Maybe it's like we have different tolerances for creepy kid stuff. I don't know. This really freaked me out. Like, I actually... And this is true. This doesn't happen a lot. I woke up at 4 a.m, and I never wake up in the middle of the night when I watch horror movies typically. It's really rare. I woke up at 4 a.m. and literally looked around with, like, my phone flashlight because I was so freaked out from this movie.
I mean, I'm happy for you that you had that experience. I can't say I had this similar experience. I do agree that it is much better than the first one. And I think it's decent. Like, you know, just in and of itself, I think it's decent. I just didn't think it was, like, amazing. And I'm very happy that you were apparently scared shitless, I cannot honestly say that I was. But again, that was the cold medicine. I don't know. I'll use that as
I don't want it to sound like I outright hated this movie. I don't think it's a terrible, terrible movie by any means. And I definitely think Mike Flanagan...
Why don't you damn it with faint praise?
Well, I just think, like, Mike Flanagan definitely did a good job putting his touch on something that kind of gave him a very poor start to begin with. And I think the performances were great. And I really did like the mother-daughter relationship in the movie. And I think it worked for the most part throughout the movie. But I didn't enjoy it. It didn't scare me. I saw everything coming. And I found the twist, if you can even call it that, the reveal so incredibly ridiculous at the end that kind of really ruined it. I mean, when I wrote my written review, it was, you know, it's like right on the cusp of fresh rotten, where it tips the scale to rotten. I think if they had a more clever reveal at the end, it would have tipped it the other way.
I agree with you on that. I think the end is weak. I'll give you that. But I gotta say, for me, I had a hell of a ride. And also, this is the only horror movie out right now. And so, like, if you're looking for something scary to see in theaters, I absolutely recommend this. The audience went nuts.
Watch Under the Shadow instead. I'm going to put that out there. I'm sorry.
I do want to see that. I haven't seen it yet.
Other horror movie. But I had to get that out there. So we should wrap up. In sum, Christy,
I absolutely recommend this. It's a really scary movie. Go with friends. Scream your face off.
I say stay home and go rent The Witch, Don't Breathe, Blair Witch,
Boo!
Green Room, Lights Out. Go have at it.
Green Room, I'll give you the rest country. Of those.
Do what you want to do.
2? Did I say that one? Conjuring 2?
Conjuring 2 I liked. I just like this more.
I say apparently it's incredibly hard to predict which horror movies you're going to like, so just go or don't. Find out. Who knows?
Wow, that was a great recommendation.
Right?
You should just base your whole decision on Angie, because that gives you a clear way to figure it out. All right, that is a wrap on episode 136 of Popcorn and Prosecco. You guys know what to do. Go over to iTunes, subscribe, rate, and comment. We have our website, popcornprosecco.com. We are on Twitter at Popcorn Prosecco. Please like us on Facebook as well. And then all three of us are all over the internet. Christy, do you want to take it first?
Sure. You can find me all over the internet, but you can find my career highlights at decadentcriminals.com. And if you want to follow me and what I do, go to Twitter. I'm at Christy Puchko, KristyPuchko.
Angie?
You can find me on Twitter at AJHAN, and I write for slashfilm.com.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at PNemiroff. I write for Collider.com, and I'm on the Collider Videos YouTube channel. And that's all we got for you. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week.